Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. If you're tuning in because you want to hear about the Rugby World Cup final and the end of the World Cup, that's already in the feed. There's another episode, either just above or just below this one. I'm not sure, but that's where this is, because this is a domestic podcast, one we've not done since the Premiership final and the weeks afterwards through the summer, because we are there 52 weeks of the year. Unlike a lot of podcasts which have suddenly popped up there for the glory days, we're here with you through the thin and thinner of domestic
the
rugby.
The long slog now. Just as the night's drawing, here we are talking about domestic rugby. But before we talk about domestic rugby, I've got a question to answer. Who is more stupid than the RFU and Bill Sweeney and the mates?
It does sound like the setup for a joke, which could be how you describe the administration of rugby in recent years. So,
The answer is Australia. So this is, in fact, the midweek domestic podcast. But I think we should open up with something non-World Cup related.
Mate!
We don't want to pollute the World Cup with Eddie Jones nonsense.
No, he tried to make it about him the day after the World Cup, didn't he?
Wow! So, basically, Australia fired all of his assistants, and now he's going to walk. But what a monumental disaster.
Hold on, was it in that order, or was it Eddie Jones is walking, so your assistants are all gone then?
So, as I understand it, and I need to get onto my Australian contacts to actually fill me in with the proper details, but time difference and time frames and whatnot. As I understand it, the Australian Rugby Union have just started binning off all of his assistants. Meanwhile, Eddie, after his monumental failure, he's probably the only man in the world that could have the brass neck to say, oh, the thing I need is more power. That's what I need, more power. So he's puts forward some demands to Rugby Australia, and in response, Rugby Australia started sacking all of his assistants. That's kind of how I read it. And the position has now become untenable. Whether he gets this enormous payoff or not, I don't know.
But so it's been reported that he won't get a payoff. They've agreed terms for him to walk without a payoff.
Do you know, if he walks without a payoff, that might be the most honourable thing I have seen an international coach do in a long time.
So yeah, 10 months into a five-year reported Aussie dollars, $5 million.
I was going to say, honourable.
Before we say about how honourable it is, let's look how big his paycheck is in Japan.
Well, fair.
I won't take a payoff. Can I please sign this contract today for them? So there's no non-compete.
Well, if I was the ARU, I think I would give Japan a call and say, look, it's going to cost us X to get rid of this guy. We'll pay you Y if you offer him today and he walks. So maybe there's some...
Or probably even, Schadenfreude of the ARU having no money, not a pot to piss in, and yet saying, no, Eddie, you can't go anywhere. You're
coaching the 21s.
Coaching the under 20s, or whatever it is, on your $5 million contract.
Did have a massive severance or lump sum, where would you go with that, Tim?
Where would I go with a massive severance or lump sum? I would go
to Beardmore & Co. Independent Advisors.
I'd go to Beardmore & Co. Independent Advisors and say, how can I make this last hedge against inflation, outperform the market, look after my children and my children's children, and be the financial personification of growing a tree, knowing that you... What's that phrase about? I love that little proverb.
Yeah, that your grandchildren will play in the shade or something. Yeah, like that.
You will. You'll plant a seed and nurture a tree that you know whose shade you won't sit in. But yeah. Anyway, that. Yeah. But so, Bibber & Co. financial advisors.
Yes. So I, in response to that, Tim, I would say we're highly regulated, and I will.
And no guarantees over anything.
No guarantees. Make up your dwellers down. Yes. But I wouldn't at this moment in time. I'm hopeful that maybe it would change one day. If I did have a massive severance, I wouldn't invest it into a Premiership club.
No,
it's not really an investment.
But shall we just get into some Twitter nonsense before we really get into the meat of it?
I'm not on Twitter, so yeah,
Neither am I. Managed to find me.
What?
This managed to find me. In fact, a few people tweeted me pictures of the discussion going on Twitter, which is, again, did you know, and I love saying this because it's just so funny, do you know the women's game represents the biggest investable opportunity the sport has ever known? Were you aware of this?
I did see someone this week say that, mark their words, it is going to be bigger than the men's game financially.
Elma Schmidt.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah, good presenter.
She's good presenter, knows her rugby.
Yeah.
Does she? Does she know her rugby? I mean, she... Does she know her rugby? It sounds not true to me. Anyway, actually, do you know what? I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. It's not going to be as big as men's rugby, but do you know what it might do? It might make more money than the men's game, because all needs to do is make, I don't know, how much? £3.50?
Well, I did, when I read that, I thought, maybe she's been listening to you, JB, because if the men's game is worth nothing, then the women's game they only have to be worth a few pounds.
Yeah, I mean, they would have, I mean, it's sort of damning with faint praise, really, isn't it? We will make more than the men. Congratulations. I mean, well done. So, I mean, some of the other podcasts, the podcasts which serve an audience which I'm not even sure exist, came up with some nonsense like that the women are worth more and yet they are paid less. And do you know what I say to that? Let's pay them all the same. This is a golden opportunity to do what I've always wanted to do, which is burn the whole thing down. So the first thing we should do is we should pay the women exactly the same as the men. We should give them access to the same stadiums. We should pay the same outfit for the television production.
We should charge the same for the tickets.
We should charge the same for the tickets. This is the route to my panacea. So I'm fully behind all of these guys, which are like, yeah, we need to pay them the same. Do you know what? It's only right. And then out of the ashes, we can build up the sport again properly. And the women and the men can have their own union, which is great, because we can run ours at a loss and do all the silly things that we did previously. And they can have... I mean, think about how angry you would be if the greatest investable opportunity that you had ever was taken up by the men, appropriated by the men. You'd be more angry than the Palestinians are with the Israelis. Like, because we've taken all of your profits to fund our game. So it is purely my position now that we should give the women all of their game back, because why don't they deserve to profit from all of this money?
Well, one of the best answers on this, not on this specific question, but on a related question, was it Rafael Nadal was asked in a press conference once? And he said, I don't want to talk about this because my words get taken out of context. But basically, he said... why don't you ask? Someone asked him why male tennis players are paid more, and he said, "Why are women models paid more? Does that upset you?" And he just said that and said, "I don't want to say anymore because I get in trouble." But anyway, yeah, I love it. If you want to try and engineer some panacea, go for it.
I'm so into this. Yeah, we should definitely. Everything's exactly the same. Now, one of the sad things is, did I mention it last week? But Worcester Warriors women have gone under, leaving the premier competition for the ladies with
only nine teams.
And that is a genuine disaster. You can't run a 9-team league. Well, they'll give it a go. Why they haven't brought forward some of the $220 million to actually make up for this, I do not know. But maybe... It's over 10 years, isn't it? So there we go. That's internet nonsense done for 1 week. Now, the Premiership. Why is the Premiership important at the moment? The Premiership is important at the moment because we picked up three games in. Now, three games shouldn't really matter, but actually that's nearly quarter of a season.
Yeah, just on this. So I love the Premiership. I worked on the Premiership for 8 years, but even before that, I was properly into the Premiership, even without having a team that I actually support.
Agreed.
I haven't seen a single second. I haven't looked at a single team sheet. I hardly know the results because I have been completely all consumed by a World Cup, partly because I was out in France where that story is happening. So which does beg the question, bearing in mind I'm living kind of the life of a more of a casual rugby fan the last 6-7 weeks, where the big story is what I'm following. Why are they doing the World Cup? Why have they started the Premiership?
It's a very good question, Tim.
What are they doing?
Because they don't really have a choice,
right?
Because of the windows. Because you've got to get the season finished for this next year's Summer International. You've got the Six Nations in there. Mm. You've got the Heineken Cup. They don't really have any choice. And it just highlights the fixture
congestion. Would it not
have
been a better choice to have said, right, we've got to make a compromise. The compromise is going to be, we're going to have some midweek fixtures like we did in COVID, and you're just going to have to play...
Yeah, ride that wave of like the World teams. Cup. So someone might have watched...
It might be that... Because obviously the TV money's big, but it matters to clubs getting people through the doors. And it might be that they... So, like, as an example, the Friday night Gloucester versus Saracens.
That makes sense.
There was one of the games, it might have been this week or last week, which was like a 6 p.m. Friday night kickoff, just to make sure you got people in who can watch that. So,
just a lack of joined-up thinking, really. I know the different competitions are owned by different parties and everyone's got different agendas in rugby, and there is a huge turf war behind the scenes. Who owns the game? Is it the club owners in England, or is it the RFU? Is it Six Nations, or is it World Rugby? Everyone is at each other's throat to work out who actually owns this game. But the lack of joined-up thinking is amazing. So you spend all this money on the World Cup, you've got all these eyeballs. I actually think it should be a condition that every broadcaster, no matter who they are, if they buy the rights to the World Cup, they should be saying, by the way, if you enjoy this, here are the domestic leagues and this is when they start. Why would you not do that? But if you watch a World Cup, it seems to be that's the only rugby in the world. Now, I understand there's political reasons you can't do this, but they should be doing it, really.
That would be like...
It's like advertising the URC in the Premiership, isn't it? In a way.
It is, but it's also like, actually, How much county cricket would I watch if I was watching the Ashes Test match?
Mm. Not everyone would, but somebody might.
So, yeah, I think it's kind of comparable. I don't think many... It depends what's your objective. Are you trying to maximise the people that you know already are really engaged in the sport? Because I'm more of a casual cricket watcher, so I wouldn't be someone you could convert to an Ashes watcher.
No, but
I get full in on the Ashes Test match, but I wouldn't go and watch county cricket.
But to this day, and I know I'm not the normal fan, but to this day I remember my first ever domestic game, watching my first ever domestic game, and it's straight after the England game. And it is the game where Paul Grayson got a record number of points. And I remember turning on TV and watching Northampton play, and I went, bloody hell, that's Paul Grayson. And that's Ben Cohen. And Matt Dawson played, and all of a sudden, I already knew these players.
But this is my point. So you were already like, and you.
No, I'd never seen a single second of domestic rugby.
No. But you are big into rugby.
No, I wasn't really even.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of playing. I was playing in school, but yeah. I watched the England game.
Oh, fair enough.
And I was like, oh, those guys play. I watch those guys every bloody week.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, all right.
And I also think this year in the World Cup, maybe I'm wrong, and you wouldn't have got this sense of this either way, Tim, because you were there. Maybe Phil has. Previous World Cups, they do make a big deal of where the players play. I've not really heard much of like where they play, how their season's been going. There's not really much chat about that. It's just the World Cup in isolation.
Mm. It has. From what I've seen, and I've watched almost every second of the World Cup, and I've watched a couple of games every weekend of the Premiership for the last, it's only 3 weekends. But yeah, it's not been that big a deal, that side of things.
Yeah, but you hear Thibaut Flamont played for Loughborough fifth team at Fly Half.
Yeah, of course.
And I was going to say Theo McFarland played for Samoa Basketball.
That is absolutely true. I heard something about someone's dad today, which I needed to remember. Damn it.
In the Newcastle Northampton game.
It might have been. Never mind. It'll come back to me.
To be fair, I was just looking at the French Top 14 League and I was in France and I didn't even take any interest in the top 14 and I was there and might have been able to go to a game. And they're 4 rounds in now.
Yeah, so do you want me to give you a quick Premiership roundup so you know where you're up to, Tim?
Yeah, that's a great shout.
So top of the table is currently Bath. They have 1-2, lost 1, so there's no undefeated...
Surely they're now called Finn Russell's Bath.
Not yet. I'm not sure Finn Russell started yet.
He started this week.
This weekend, but he came off the bench last weekend.
Did he come off the bench in the first game?
Yeah, he had like 2 minutes or something.
No, because in one of the games, so in the first game, he came off the bench quite early because someone got injured. And then last week, he might have started last week or come off early. Last week he started because he got that outrageous offload. After that was not long into the game. That was 10, 15 minutes into the game last week. But so, yeah, not quite Finn Russell's bath yet.
So there were no undefeated teams left.
There's only one fully defeated team.
And that would be Newcastle Falcons. The team which has really flown up the traps in terms of their scores is Exeter Chiefs. They look like they might be back big time.
Wow.
They annihilated Saracens. They just beat
them. In the first game.
They annihilated them.
Right? I watched that and it was first half. They scored 43 points in the first half. It was just one-way traffic.
And looking at the result this weekend, they annihilated Sale.
Yes, they did.
Looking at their team, it's like, my goodness, that team did that to Sale.
Yeah.
That was
weirdly, wow.
This will amaze you, and I'm not sure how legal this is. In fact, I think it's very illegal. But according to Ultimate Rugby, which we all know is the panacea of all rugby knowledge, Curtis Langdon was on the receiving end of a massive hiding playing hooker for Sale. He then went to Newcastle and played for Northampton this afternoon.
It's his brother playing for Sale, isn't it?
N. Langdon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's down as Curtis on Ultimate Rugby. Oh, so is there two Langdons?
There must be.
Yes.
Well.
See, I'm just looking at the names. So there's a fair bit of...
This is a good Sale team.
There's a fair bit of pedigree in that Sale team. The Exeter team, wow, Rob Baxter, has he done it again?
Yeah, so there's a lot of chat about the new Exeter scrum coach. He's telling them to push harder, and they're listening. And it seems to be making all the difference. But other than that, they look like a cohesive unit. They look a lot, I want to say a lot like Exeter teams of old, because they're not, they seem to play a bit more. They had a really good game against Harlequins last week where they lost. But these two wins they've got against Sale and Saracens are huge.
43-0.
Yeah, and the Saracens game 2 weeks ago. Now, it's not a normal Saracens team. They're losing probably 10-plus players from the game 3 weeks ago, certainly. But it was still a hell of a point. It just took them apart.
Yeah. So Sale currently sit fifth in the table, sixth in the table, but they've also got two wins and one loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the remaining teams on one win and two losses are Saracens, Northampton, and Tigers. Tigers beat Bath. So it does look like this could be an absolute washing machine of a league.
Yeah, yes. And I'm just, do you know what? This looking at the Bristol Harlequins result from the weekend, Bristol 21, Harlequins 23. I would have backed the team with a centre partnership of Ben Hart, Yancy van Rensburg and Viramie Vakatawa to beat the centre partnership of Lennox Anyanwu and Oscar Beard.
Yeah, yes. Oscar Beard's class.
Oh, no, they watch out for Beard. Good young players, but it's just when you look at the experience.
Well, Vakatawa scored this week as well, didn't he? I've not seen the try yet.
Christ,
I do like Harlequin's back three, even without Marchant and even Merley, they're back. Liner, Green, David. Oh, nice.
They're good, aren't they? I think the Premiership is going to have a bit of a short-term blip of quality as it stands. They are flooded with these... And we were talking about this in my kitchen, Tim. Like, they are flooded with these, like, middle-rate, high-quality Premiership players because of the collapse of three Premiership clubs.
Yeah.
And so you get these teams, like Leicester this week, who are just littered with Premiership players from other sides.
So this is something, when I've seen the Leicester team sheets, like the Leicester team sheet this week, the back three, Ollie Hassel-Collins, Josh Bassett, Mike Brown, with then Tom Whiteley and Jamie Shilcock as your nines and ten, and Matt Rogerson playing at eight. Like, these guys have just been brought in from all round the league.
It's like you've, honestly, looking at the Leicester team now, as I am, it's like, particularly the back line, as you mentioned, it's like someone just had a tombola.
Yeah,
and pulled out names.
Yeah, yeah.
Randomly.
These are like It's going to be 6th or 7th round pick from Fantasy Rugby Draft 2020. Yeah. They're all going to be starting for Leicester Tigers in the back line.
Wow. One from Saracens, one from Quinns, one from Worcester, one from London Irish, one from another from Quinns. Wow.
So these guys must... I mean, Bassett was signed prior to anything happening.
He went to Quinns short term after Wasps.
Yeah. So Bassett and Hassel Collins presumably on real deals. I think Shilcock might have been signed actually as part of a plan. Matt Rogerson obviously wasn't. Matt Rogerson was London Irish captain at one point.
Shilcock went from Worcester to Bath, then Bath to Japan, and then Japan to Leicester.
And then they signed him.
Yeah. So
he's not quite the normal.
It's not the normal route.
Normal. But I just think that these Premiership teams the next couple of years are going to look like the NFL, which is you get these journeyman players who are really good starters.
Really cheap.
Really cheap.
Yeah.
Really cheap. And if I was one of these players now, I would take the injury risk. I'd take a one-year contract, not a two, definitely not a two, certainly not a three. If I'm on... this is a complete guess. Matt Rogerson might be paid very well. I don't think he is because of the position he plays and the length of time he had to fit into a squad. And he wants to be taking one-year deals, and he needs to find a place that suits him next year or the year after for probably double what he's on now.
That defeat for Bath, look at their team, and it's like it could have been the team from last year, with the exception of Finn Russell, which you would think would only improve their side.
Yeah they're quite stable.
And they went down at home to Leicester.
With Barbary. Good to see Barbary. He didn't do much in this game. I mean, it was horrendous conditions, this game.
Get Barbary into England. Pick him. Get him in. We're going to have that start again now he's played a couple of games. Come on, I really want him to stay fit this time. I think he could be.
Well, if he plays well.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Other English players of note, in Harlequins in particular, Joe Launchbury has played two or three games consecutively now. So that's decency. I love Jack Kenningham. I think Jack Kenningham is England quality. Whether he'll get a shout or not, I don't know, but I think I think he's good. I think Harlequins in general will be good this year.
Tom Willis at Saracens is one I'm interested to know how he's getting on.
I'm not sure.
He scored two tries this week.
There we go. He has scored.
Because Saracens were... they were without a win and went to Gloucester on Friday night, who had not lost. And if you've seen the Theo Dan Jamie George interaction after the final whistle of the third place playoff... There's a very short clip of Jamie George mouthing 24-3, which was the scoreline, and Theo Dan going, "No way," and Jamie George going, "Yes, 24-3.
Which is at what point in the game?
After the final whistle.
All right, as soon as the final whistle.
Yeah,
went,
yeah, it's an amazing. You'll find it on Twitter or
elsewhere.
It is superb.
That's class. So, do you know, according to Ultimate Rugby, this is a great game. Who played 15 for Harlequins?
Alex Brown, the second row.
Oh, good.
I'll go for...
I think it'd be their reserve hooker.
No. Nick Evans played 15.
Nick Evans.
What the worst shout, I guess.
Not Nick David.
I'm sure it was Nick David, but it was Nick Evans.
Love it. Does Brian O'Driscoll still have anything to do with Ultimate Rugby?
He better not have.
Do you just keep Ultimate Rugby for the entertainment now? Because I have recommended Tribe many times, which is good.
Like myself, right. It is 90% correct with some outrageous claims. So I quite like it.
Now just going back to the... we've got this oversupply of talented players in the Premier League.
Premiership.
There is an undersupply of talented players in the Premier League, particularly at Manchester United at the moment. Anyway, right, Premiership, mm-hmm. I'll try and get my head straight. Premiership, too many talented players and low salary cap at the moment.
Yeah.
The salary cap goes back up, it increases by 1.4 million next season, 24-25, which is just going to end up... It's going to be the same players. So that should really be, like, keep the most important guys and bring some new talent into the league. Where you've got specific weaknesses, bring in some Kiwis, some Aussies, some Saffers, but targeted. You're going to end up having these weird negotiations where a guy you just mentioned, Matt Rogerson, let's say he's on 100K at the moment. Might be too high, might be too low. But if his deal is up in 12 months' time, he's going to say, well, the league has gone up 25%, therefore I'm automatically worth an extra 25%, and I'm playing out of my skin, therefore I'm worth... So you're going to have these weird renegotiations.
Well, so...
Still a buyer's market, though, isn't there? Because there's only so many spots.
Well, so five Premiership teams want the salary cap to be drastically increased because they are worried about Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing, actually, that these people still exist that want to spend their money, but they do.
They do.
So five teams want to spend a lot more money.
Well, we Leicester, know who two of them are, Bruce Bristol. Craig and Steve Lansdowne. We know those two.
Yep.
Now, the other owners are not overly keen with this, for whatever, and one of the owners, another one of the owners, has come up with a plan, right, to enable teams to compete in Europe, not affect the salary cap, but increase the playing talent. Would you like to hear it?
Is it something that you have proposed before?
This is not my idea.
But
this is a completely novel idea. I've not heard of this, but
okay.
It was pitched to me by someone in that position.
Okay. So one of the things that we have discussed is, and I don't think it'll be this, but was to group the competition, so you'd have all Premiership, then all Heineken Cup.
So Heineken Cup could be like IPL,
then,
basically.
Six Nations. So then international window, because you could then have separate deals. But I'm guessing it's not that.
It is not that, no. That is probably one of the better ideas. It's also not an increase in the salary cap, because that would be messy, but it is cap related.
Is it treat cap differently for Heineken Cup? And so you treat... so you give different... here we go. You give players game-specific payments, where payments specific to Heineken Cup can be discounted from the Premiership cap.
Yeah, this is another... So we spoke about that for Saracens, didn't we?
Mm.
So we said, like, could Saracens get around the salary cap by saying... we only pay these guys for Europe, or
treating the England players like Leinster treated Johnny Sexton.
Yeah, exactly. Or you only sign, or sorry, better way to put it is you only sign players for the Heineken Cup, so they never see the Premiership field.
Yeah, you might, if they never play in the Premiership, you might be able to get around it.
And that's pretty close to the proposal made. So the proposal would be to increase the marquee players from 1 to 5. But only 2 of them at any one time could play in the Premiership.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a lot of money.
That's
to
a
win
lot.
Europe, isn't it?
So do you know... So, just on that, the excluded players or marquee players, did you read the Premiership salary cap report that came out about 2 or 3 weeks ago now?
No.
No.
So, it's worth...
I was having pastis in Marseille.
Yeah, you were doing much more fun things, but I was not doing anything near as fun. So I flicked through it. There's stuff you could go into, which we won't do now, but the marquee players or the excluded players is interesting. So during this season, which was season ending 22, so it was still a 13-team league, there were 25 marquee players, so not all the clubs nominated 2, as there could have been at that time. Most did, but not all. The average marquee player or excluded player salary was £450,000.
That's exactly what I'd guess.
The top income from the top 25 players in the league, top 25
is this
best
combined
player,
or per player?
Average. No, the average for the top 25 earners in the league.
300.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
540.
Wow.
So there were very well played paid players, enough to distort the average by nearly 100k, who were not
Sir Charles,
who were not excluded players.
This is retrospective.
This is a 2022 season. Yeah.
So Faz, Marrow, Sir Charles. Although he would have been marketed.
Bristol, it would either be
Lua Tua,
Semi, or Sir Charles, who had to be excluded.
Maybe Nathan Hughes at one point.
Possibly. Yeah.
Oh, Kyle Sinclair's on a handy
story. And he can't be excluded.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sorry, excluded player.
Yeah, he can't be excluded, but he could be in,
top. He'd be marquee. George Ford would be one.
George Ford could have been in this year because he was Leicester, but he can't be now. Is that right?
Yeah, you can't move from Premiership club to Premiership club.
Yes, yeah. No, sorry, I'm just thinking of the time. Yes, yeah.
Hogg?
Definitely Hogg.
Oh, he'd be marquee.
He would be marquee, yeah. He definitely would have been marquee. But no, I'm amazed that the needle has been moved by that much. But what it probably tells me is that there were certain clubs who perhaps don't exist anymore, whose marquee players must have been significantly under the average of it. Yeah, or Rory Sutherland or...
Wow.
Whoever was at Worcester.
Yeah, interesting.
For example. So yeah, there is much more to it as well. It breaks down the average salaries in loads of different ways. So you can see by international experience, by Premiership experience, by position, by age, all of those things. And they're quite interesting. It doesn't do anything to say which club spent what, which is something that I would have liked to see.
Yes.
Yeah, but because that's been the problem in the past hasn't been that scrum halves are the second worst paid on average. That's it. That's data you can get from this, but that's irrelevant to past transgressions. Past transgressions are all around where teams spend more. So I would be more interested to see that kind of data.
Ruby just shoots itself in the foot because just tell us the information. It's a sport. Nobody cares that much.
Yeah.
It's a sport. And the more information fans know, the more they can get into it.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous, actually.
I would be fully transparent, as in every deal is visible to everyone. Yeah. I can understand why players would not want their salaries known to everyone. Why clubs would not want players' salaries known. Because if you've got, a top international player who's, say, very young, maybe 20, 19, tied up for 5 years on very low wages, you don't really want that data getting out there.
Yeah, and not only that, the owners of the clubs, I think, are smart for the most part. I mean, the CBC deal is a disaster, but okay, for the most part, they're smart men who've got in a position to be where they are through smart business acumen. And then you compare that to how the RFU is run by apparatchiks and bureaucrats, and you can see why the Premiership owners want to maintain control over it. Because every time you put one of these managerial types in charge, they just do a terrible job. And I don't know how you get around this, because rugby is run by a class of sports administrator who is in it for themselves. And I don't mean that I don't mean they're corrupt. I don't mean anything like that. But they sort of come. Just look at how COVID was handled. If that was your business, if rugby was your personal business, you would not be phoning the Department of Sport, whatever they're called, every week and saying, oh, well, we phone them every week to see what we could do. You'd be doing it and then telling them retrospectively. Mm. You'd be doing everything in your power to get rugby up and running. But it's like a compliance mindset. So the owners aren't very keen on handing over power. They don't hand over power. What you've got is these little fiefdoms who are all arguing with each other. And then they are also in competition with the RFU, who they do not trust. And they don't trust them because, they're idiots. There's no other word for it. They're idiots that don't understand the game. And not only do they not understand the game, in some cases, it would seem they are actively hostile towards it and what it stands for. Yeah, and Bill Sweeney's no fan of rugby. There's no two ways about it. You look at the marketing departments and everything else in the RFU, they're not a fan of rugby. Do you know what the single biggest funded grassroots programme is in England at the moment?
No. I guess it's something to do with the head contact awareness.
Nope.
Or the women's game.
Nope. The single biggest funded grassroots project.
I don't know. Go on.
Do you guys guess, Tim?
Is it this new touch game? That
correct.
T1. No, do you know why they've introduced T1?
Because they want to turn your rugby club into a community centre and just have as many people through the door as possible.
If you're not sure what we're referring to, I mean, I apologise in advance for you searching for it. It's quite a cringeworthy video. But no, it's because, and this is just like a microcosm of how rugby is generally, the RFU don't own touch rugby.
Yes, they don't.
So they want to create something completely brand new that is basically touch rugby.
That's what's going
on here.
Yeah. So they've got this woman who goes around talking about touch rugby to clubs trying to sell it. And the message that she's saying, she was telling the clubs about 2 years ago, she was hanging out with Steve Granger, who is the head of whatever he is. He's in charge of the community game, right? And the message was like, yeah, we're going to create this touch game and we're going to try and attract players in, but we need safeguarding to make sure that the contact version of the game does not start approaching these players and intimidating them to play real rugby. I'm like, get lost. Just go away.
Well, just
don't need you.
One little thing. I mean, there's lots I don't like about the video.
Well, mixed sport would be one.
Yeah, well there's lots I don't like about the video, but one ridiculous thing, there's a bit in the video where someone goes up and touches someone on the shoulder and the referee says, hey, calm it down. But the one thing, so they've got this new touch game for the community game, and they haven't done the touch sternum and below. So you in this new touch game, you can touch neck high.
Hey.
It's fine.
Hey,
calm down.
No, I'm playing sport. No. Yeah. So, interestingly, so the idea is we make a game so everyone plays it. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this. I do CrossFit. Do you aware of that?
You haven't mentioned it.
Yeah, I do CrossFit. And today, after CrossFit, the CrossFit thing, I'm going for CrossFit coffee straight after. So I'm there with a guy who used to work in rugby league and knows the rugby league inside out. I was there with two girls who do not know rugby, to put it mildly, right? They just don't. And we were talking about rugby and, you know, why the game is such a mess. And one of them, who does not watch rugby, says, do you know what? I like it when they fight. Like, so do I. Right? I'm like, yes. Yeah. The female fan that watches rugby, believe you me, they're not watching it because they like beta males running around. They, you know, that isn't the attraction to them. They're not watching it because they really like men who don't enjoy contact.
Well, this isn't a spectator sport anyone's talking about, is it? This is a participation sport.
Who wants to play it? Do you want to hang out with weak men? Oh, okay, let's go down the rugby club.
Well, but the point is, it's like for anyone that I quite like, if I have a bit more time, I quite like the idea of maybe a bit of touch rugby in the summer.
Play netball. Netball is so much better than touch rugby.
But my point is that touch rugby exists, and the only reason this new game has been introduced is because...
Yeah, because they want to slice the pie.
Don't own it. It's like World Rugby want to have this World League, which, again, we'll have to talk about at some point. Not today, but we'll talk about it at some point. And right or wrong, the reason they want to bring it in is because they don't know the Six Nations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tim. So the next question is, how much of our scarce resource are they going to put into capturing someone else's sport? Maybe they should just concentrate on building up the sport which they're in charge of. So it's contact rugby. You go around and you talk to everyone. I mean, you know they hate the game. And you know that they're basically apparatchiks because... You know, look how they treat the safety first and foremost. No, game first and foremost. And we need more players playing. No, you need to promote your existing game. You need to change your game for more people. They've got everything back to front. T1 is the embodiment of everything which is wrong with this administration. They
T1,
don't like...
T1's a rubbish name.
Of course it's a rubbish name. They're rubbish at their
jobs.
What
was the other one? Wasn't there Rugby X as well was the one?
Well, Rugby X was a private venture, in fairness.
Yeah, that was...
So they can waste as much money as they want. I mean, that's just... I mean, they tried.
Was that going to be like a Sevens World League? They were talking about having teams, and wasn't there loads of cash being splashed at one point, or threatened to be splashed?
It's one of those things where they do a study and they say the potential market for this is X. You know, so it's like when they say, you know, you know, we said before, the women's game is the biggest investable opportunity the world has ever seen in rugby, nay, sport in general. just because a market exists doesn't mean they want your product. So they do a basic calculation, like there are X amount of women in the world and they definitely all want to play and watch rugby, which is not true. Because if you did that calculation for, say, cosmetics, it doesn't stand up that we're going to all of a sudden... I mean, men's cosmetics might be the biggest growth market, but growing from what number? And just because we exist, it doesn't mean we're going to buy makeup. Yeah. Like, it's false. I think Rugby X has done on that thing, like, there is X amount of potential fans. If you reach every one of them, we'll be massive. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it.
So, just, again, sort of broadening this out a little bit and just talking about domestic rugby, which we're all really passionate about, and this podcast is the bedrock of it over the years, and you know, every week, 52 weeks of the year for into our 11th season now, has been the Premiership. The drop in quality that you've already identified that is the case with the Premiership, the lack of the inability of the teams we anticipate to be able to compete on the top table in the European Champions Cup this year.
Yeah.
Means that I'm still invested and I'm interested and I will be passionate about the Premiership. But it does mean I'm looking at URC and I'm looking at top 14 and I'm much more interested in them this season than I ever have been.
Yeah. Well, URC is a different beast, isn't it? Because the top teams in the URC are class.
Yeah.
The South African teams are brilliant.
Yeah.
You can't argue with Leinster.
So to the point, again, and I'll do this in this
the Welsh before, teams.
We'll have a chat. There's one point where I'm going to talk to you guys about, because like I'm sort of thinking, what... I might actually like to do a URC / top 14 kind of episode in the way we do Premiership. I'm not saying we have to do it. It could be something we add. All I'm saying is I'm open to the idea because I'm seeing the landscape and it's like, well, the
top 14 is 100% on the table.
Yeah, because the money directly equates to the quality, which directly relates to the interest. And it's not that I'm less interested in the Premiership; it's that I'm more interested in the top 14.
Top 14
I was not more interested than the Premiership.
Yeah, top 14 is going to turn into the Premier League, I think, of rugby, if not the NFL of rugby, where there's one league that absolutely dominates the sport.
Mm.
And you can see it now. Yes, there's loads of mid-range quality players flooding Premiership teams, but the absolute top-end talent goes to one place. There's no two ways about it. With the exception of Andre Pollard, who has been the best, standout world-class signing that the Premiership teams have made the last few years.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how Finn Russell does as well.
Yeah,
because
that is a good signing.
That is definitely one. And Duan.
Yeah, but he's gone again.
He's gone again.
Yeah.
But I've picked a top 14 team as well.
For now?
I've picked Bayonne.
Yeah, but who says they're going to be in top 14 for much longer?
I don't care. I'll follow them through thick and thin. So I've picked Bayonne because they're my team. It's like Phil with Ulster.
Ulster, great win. Beat the Bulls today.
But at least he picked the team with like reasonable transport links.
It's a fair point. I picked Bayonne because I love that song that is the Bayonne Rugby Club anthem.
Good. And you like rowing?
And then to back up, they're called Laviron. Bayonne, which is like they're called the Rowing Club, is what they're known as. So it's all meant to be, and they've got beautiful sky blue and white hoops.
It is a lovely kit, actually.
It's a lovely kit, and
they've got a great derby,
and they beat Stade Francais. Got a great derby,
nice area of the world,
and I'm going to watch them in 2 weekends' time against La Rochelle.
And they've got Camille Lopez, and they've got one of your previous crushes, JB, Arta Itteria.
Oh wow, he's a really good player. He's a really good player. What's it? So the French league is kind of a bit like the Premiership.
And Maxime Machinot,
which is all these guys just end up all over the place.
Yeah,
all over the place. You, like if in the NFL, you turn on the TV, you've missed it for a year, and the whole
everyone's playing for a different club.
Yeah.
Do they have a wealthy owner? I want to try and tap.
Yes.
Him up. I want to try and tap him up. Come on, we've got an opportunity here.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm going to give my top 14 team a little bit more thought.
Yeah, I should have.
I'm going to just dive in. I respect that you have, Tim.
I have always been a huge Billy Searle fan. So I'm going to go say Toulouse.
Toulouse is too easy.
You need to look at where... I think JB's right on a practical level. Look at where the direct flights to Manchester from Manchester.
Well, Toulouse is very easy to get
Toulouse
to.
Toulouse is easy to get to.
Toulouse is easy. Yeah, like Bayonne not so much, although it is not far from San Sebastian and Barcelona.
Which is a big deal breaker. mind you, you say not close on the map. It doesn't. It's probably not 8 hours.
Maybe 4 hours.
I'll have to think about it. I mean, Toulouse would be my first choice.
Toulouse.
You've got loads of Stade Francais kits already.
Do you know, actually, I was buying Stade Francais kits before it was.
There's
cool.
one right behind you.
That's my original one.
The pink Thunderbolt shirt.
That's the first ever pink one. Do you know how hard that was to get?
Really?
I waited 8 weeks for that. 8 weeks. That was the first, when they first came out with that I got that one, and then the year after they released the one with the flowers, which I had as well, and the year after that, it was the one with denim. So I bought all the stuff, maybe stuff around, say. I hate Paris. It's just not right, a good city.
There is no team in Marseille, but can I just say, while we're mentioning French cities, Lyon. I'm a total Marseille convert. It is brilliant. It's great.
In the summer, I have no doubt, actually.
It was awesome. I loved it. Anyway, Lyon, yeah, they got a good win against Clermont. And Lyon's nice place, and we've got a connection there. You know, you could probably get a shirt.
There's a few British players there.
Yeah. Toulouse are losing to Bordeaux currently.
Bordeaux are a handy side. Bordeaux's not a bad place to get
Bordeaux's
to as well.
Bordeaux's not a bad place.
Yeah.
Maybe you need West to think, like, where could you go to
good
some,
red wine.
Some vineyards when
if
you're
if there's any French
there.
People listening who support any of these teams, or any English people that support these teams, send us a pitch.
Yeah.
I'm open to a pitch.
Contact edchasers@gmail.com. Bayonne have already got my love and my support. The mighty Bayonne. Phil and JB are open. They can be tempted. Surely the Thunderdome, Racing 92. That seems like your kind of place as well, JB.
And the kit is gorgeous, and again, it's the Paris thing I'm not keen on.
And you love Stuart Lancaster.
That's it. I'm all about values. Yeah, maybe.
Toulon's pretty cool.
Toulon is pretty cool, and they're crazy as well. Like, there's nothing normal about Toulon. Everything about that club is absolutely off the wall.
La Rochelle Cognac region.
La Rochelle, I'd love La Rochelle.
Toulon.
On the coast, you're a big seafaring man. You like boats?
I like boats. Some good World War II history there.
Toulon in line to sign an England prop, if the rugby paper is to be believed.
Prop?
Yeah.
Which one would that be, I wonder?
England, current or?
Current.
Okay.
Played in this World Cup.
So, current England prop.
Stewart.
Will Stewart.
Nope.
Carl Sinclair.
Yes. According to
replace Kieran Brooks.
According to the rugby paper.
Oh, interesting. I can see that happening. A lot of money off the cap. He's not doing so well.
And Tim, you're in luck. Lovell Rugby, there are only two top 14 shirts currently available. Two club shirts. One of them is Clermont, the other is Bayonne. And you can get their home and away shirt discounted.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
20% off.
You need to buy that.
I think you need to buy both home and away.
I don't buy kits. I'll get in touch with. No.
So first things first, I need to be somewhere nice. Right? I need to be somewhere that I want to go. I don't want to go to Paris. I love Clermont. Do I want to go to Clermont? Nope, not really. Probably in the south.
Lyon, mate.
Lyon sounds cool.
Lyon's cool. Good.
Like that, by the river, great restaurants, good bars. It's a bouncing city. That.
Yeah, I feel like I missed my Lyon window.
You got some contacts.
Yeah, Lyon.
Bordeaux, Toulouse. I don't know anything about Perpignan or Montpellier.
Isn't Perpignan closest to Barcelona? It's on that coast, isn't it?
Because it's got the Basque colours, hasn't it? The blue, red and yellow.
But they are constantly...
Dan Carter played for Perpignan.
Up and down the leagues.
Yeah, Paddy Jackson.
Paddy Jackson plays for Perpignan. Heaven knows he needs some support. If they sign Israel Folau, I'm in.
Well, he was in that neck of the woods, wasn't he? Catalan Dragons.
Yeah, he was.
Well, there you go. It's open. Contact edchasers@gmail.com. If you can put together a picture why Phil or JB should select a particular team. Phil has already kind of hinted that Toulouse would be something you'd be tempted by.
Yeah, I was kind of joking about Billy Sir, just because they're such a big beast historically.
Yeah, I know. It's like you picked Ulster and it's been nothing but misery since, like near misses.
Oh, what could have been?
You'd love to go follow a team where there was a chance of silverware.
A big chance.
Anyway, that's top 14. But
there are teams that have got fined and like relegated or been involved in massive scandals. I could get in.
Well, who's top of Pro D2 currently? Let me have a look. Van Provence. No, there's not really any big teams. Where are Biarritz? A 10th.
God.
Do you know, they did do one very cool thing during the Rugby World Cup. They had all the Pro D2 matches on Wednesday and Thursday nights, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights.
Joined up thinking,
it was great. There just was none near where I was to be able to go and watch. But I was quite keen.
So, if we're getting close to wrapping it up...
Let's do next week's fixtures.
Before we do next week's fixture, I just wanted to touch on three other little things from the salary cap. But they'll be
oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
From the salary cap report. So one of these, I wasn't aware of it, and friend of the pod, Ollie Poole, pointed out when he was doing his reading of the salary cap. Did you know that the champions get extra scrutiny?
Yes.
So there's an extended audit.
And I know why this happens.
Maybe the Saracens thing contributes to it slightly, but they get an extended audit by the Premiership Rugby salary cap team, plus their special investigators at PwC,
yep.
including providing, I think it's 50% of their senior player squad need to provide 2 years worth of bank accounts and tax returns,
yeah.
including the image rights companies.
So the original plan was they were going to scrutinise a random club every year, and they'd have this process going on. But the thought behind it was, well, if you're a random club and you're cheating the salary cap, who cares, because you're doing it badly?
Yeah.
If you're cheating the salary cap and you're winning,
that's a problem.
You've got a problem. And that's why they do the winning club.
I suppose if you don't have the resources to look under every stone, that's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really good idea.
It's quite pragmatic.
They definitely don't have the resources to do everything. Right. So that's one thing. The second thing, only one position does not have a single player paid more than 350k.
Number six.
So it's back row would be the... So it doesn't go that specific.
Okay, back row,
only one position. So I'm thinking... my thinking here would be, where is there a large number... Where is there a lot of talent in a particular position? So there's a lot of supply.
Has to be back row. And if it's not back row, I'd say centre. And the fact that we've got no good centres probably suggests that.
Back row, I'm just thinking about who... But England have got such good back row players. Say again. So
this is the whole
position
of the Premiership. So there's only one position that doesn't have a single player in the league, either in 21-22 or the previous year, that is paid more than 350k. So there's no one paid more than
350k. Well, we know Luatua has been paid more than that.
Yeah, Luatua would rule out the back row.
See, I'm thinking wing. Because there's a lot of them. English Merton, just thinking of the England team, they've got loads of wingers, but we don't have anyone. Anthony Watson would be the only one where I go, he's like
Cockenasinger,
he's elite.
Yeah, Cockenasinger shouldn't be,
but he's on a big deal.
He's probably on a big deal.
Wing might be the one, you know. I'm trying to think of any highly paid wings.
Fullbacks, what?
Hang on, Duane van der Merwe might have ruined that for you.
This is 21-22.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. What about fullback then? Because I'm thinking, like, because Freddie Stewart's young at that point. He hasn't got a big senior deal by this point.
Mike Brown, maybe.
Declining.
Stuart Hogg.
Hoggy and Sir Charles.
Yeah, of course.
It's centre. It's definitely centre.
Okay, yeah.
So it is not centre.
Scrum half?
It's not scrum half.
Give up then.
So it surprised me because I think... one club in England has got one of the best hookers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's hooker.
It's hooker, wow.
But
yeah, because
I guess so. Mallet-Dickie's gone for cash.
No, because he's in. Well, no, he's gone for more
he's
cash.
In there, but he's in
for
there. Cash, so he's obviously gone for more cash. He obviously wasn't being paid more than that. There.
So, Montoya.
Yeah.
Wow.
Montoya's a steal at less than 350k, and Jamie George is also very good value. Under 350k. Hooker is also the lowest paid position on average, and we spoke about this, I think it was last year. So scrum half and hooker are the two lowest paid, and last year we debated this, and I think there are two things at play, both of which contribute to it.
One of which will be they need extra players, so you get bin juice, which brings the average down.
Yes. So point number one would be you have to have three or four hookers, although if you take the Razzie Erasmus and Jack Nienaber approach, you don't. But
by the way, Leicester, I would not call Nick Dolly, Charlie Clare, bin juice. So.
No.
But they will drag the average down. Yeah,
you have to be deep. You have to have at least three, probably four hookers, of which one is always going to be on 30 or 40k. Yeah. So that brings the average down.
Yeah. Well, I know you've made the point, but there's only one of them. So, like, you know, it's a position with oversupply. because you can't really play three. Well,
and the other side, so it's scrum half and hooker, and they are the two positions where you have to be least. You have to have the least unusual. You don't need unusual physical gifts to be a scrum half or a hooker. You
don't need unless you're South African.
Yeah. But weirdly, with hooker, you can have them.
You can have them, but you don't need them. So you don't need to be able to run a sub-11 seconds, 100 metres. You don't need to be more than 110 kg. You don't need to be more than 6 foot
Here's
five.
An argument. Are they two of England's weakest positions?
In the... yeah, actually, in this... If we had Mullet-Dickie, you'd say well-stocked, and then Theo Danner's third choice is fine. The fact that neither Theo Dan nor Jack Walker... were trusted, really. I know Theo Dan started the third place playoff, but neither of them were really trusted to get more than a couple of minutes across the whole tournament. Yeah, that suggests
I think I'd build my team around expensive hookers if I was in the Premiership. I'd look at buying the two best hookers in the Premiership because your set piece is essential.
Yep.
You know there's not much competition for them. You could essentially have Montoya and another for a little less, and then... You know, you're set up for a pretty good season, I would guess.
Well, Montoya, I mean, the winning team in this year had probably the best hooker in the league, and they played against the final with the team with the second best hooker in the league.
Can we call this episode Expensive Hookers? That'll get people clicking.
I don't even think we should review next week's game. Let's just finish on that.
Well, yeah, let's not review, because we don't actually know how it's going to go. We have no idea. So let's watch the games.
I think this is it. This is our week of reset. Yeah. We can ramp back up through the gears. I think we're probably in the same place that a lot of people are, unless you're a season ticket holder at one of these clubs.
But then you only know, you know, your club who's played one or two home games, and you know one or two other clubs that you've seen once.
Yeah, I guess I was being a bit harsh there. I guess I get why the season has begun. I'm just looking at when the Champions Cup is going to be back, because that will be when the season really kicks up a gear.
They must be waiting for that a little longer.
That is 6 weeks' time.
I was going to say, it can't be anytime soon. By then, half the domestic season's over.
And Bath versus Ulster. So we've got games to build up to. Munster v Bayonne. My boys are in the Champions Cup. Get in.
Going to see URC champions. Snaim and John Klein will have a few things to say about that.
I'm looking at what Bayonne at home to Glasgow. I might have to go and do that game. Bayonne at home to Exeter.
Ooh, everyone loves Exeter.
See if I can get on. Call up Rob Baxter. Can I get on your plane, lads? Let's call it there.
Roger.
Hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Contact headchasers@gmail.com and let the boys end.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.